Hello, everyone. Welcome to Minghui Radio, bringing you podcasts of stories relating to the persecution of Falun Gong in China, insights and experiences gained by practitioners during the course of their cultivation, special items of interest, and music composed and performed by DAFA practitioners.
The following is an experience sharing article entitled Relationship Issues with My Son Prompted Me to Return to DAFA by a fallen DAFA practitioner in China. The article was published on the Minghui website on January 13, 2024. I began practicing Falun DAFA in 1996, but I left the DAFA group for a long time. I've had a difficult relationship with my son, and it got worse last winter. The heartache awakened me, and I decided to resume practicing DAFA again. My biggest regret is that I failed to follow the teachings of Master Li, the founder of Falun DAFA. My decline began after I left the FA study group. After leaving, I was quite diligent at first and spent more time reading the FA than when I was with the group. I thought my foundation and faith in DAFA was solid and that I could persevere. Yet I didn't realize I was going downhill. It was not noticeable until I reached a desperate situation. The old forces watch every practitioner, especially those walking the path they arranged. They use all kinds of tricks to drag us down and refuse to let go. If it were not for Master's compassion, we would have missed this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I'm still frightened just thinking about it. I didn't listen to Master and left the path he arranged for me. I was arrogant and ignorant. Fortunately, under Master's arrangement, I resumed practicing and caught up with the FA rectification process. Practitioners now gather at my house to study the FA and talk about their cultivation experiences. I'd like to say this to practitioners who recently returned to DAFA. Because we've missed so many opportunities to improve, we may suffer more hardships when trying to be diligent. The ordeals may not be tangible, but more like a war between the divine and the evil, between good and the wicked at every level. If you're not careful, the tribulations could weaken your will, make you fall, and destroy you. We need to work harder to catch up with the FA rectification process. My understanding is that we should listen to Master with sincerity, do the three things well, and make sure every thought and action is righteous. This is how one can truly return to DAFA. I hope practitioners who are lagging behind can catch up and not miss the opportunity. I'd like to share my recent experience in eliminating attachments during conflicts with my son. My son was an obedient child, but became rebellious after he started high school. I tried everything I could, but nothing helped. I began to search inward last summer and eventually walked out of the situation arranged by the old forces. My son and I went to the supermarket to buy pork chops. He noticed a piece of meat attached to a bone and wanted to use the tongs to remove the bone and take the meat. I quickly stopped him and said, "We shouldn't do that. The bone and meat are sold together at a price. If you take the meat, no one will buy the bone. You shouldn't focus on petty gains, as you could lose virtue." He lowered his head in embarrassment. Although I stopped him, I felt uneasy, as I too had the attachment to petty gain. Didn't I pick through the pork chops? My son's conduct was a reflection of my selfishness. I corrected myself and stopped being picky when I went shopping. My son became restless when school was about to start, and he couldn't stand or sit still. I told him to calm down, but he couldn't. I looked inward and realized that I was the one who was restless. I kept thinking with excitement, "My son will go back to school soon. I will have more time to do DAFA work." my unsteady heart contained characteristics of the indoctrination by the Chinese Communist Party, that is, a flashy exterior but hollow inside. I was using the excuse of doing DAFA work to hide my selfish heart. I eliminated the bad elements that affected my heart, and I decided to be steadfast every step of the way. Because I didn't keep up with the FA rectification for a long time, I treated my son's learning issues like other parents. When he became rebellious, I used complicated methods in an attempt to change him. He didn't change, but became worse. At first, I did not realize that it had to do with my attachments. I didn't search inward and didn't look at the problem based on FA principles. I kept telling my son to study hard and get into a good college to secure a promising future. I did not realize that I was walking a path arranged by the old forces. When I resumed practicing Falun Dafa, I understood that my son was behaving that way to help me improve. Because of my love for my son, I pressured him to study hard. My heart was full of competitiveness, jealousy, and forceful thoughts, which are all elements of the CCP's indoctrination. I failed to educate my son based on the FA and righteous principles. I forgot that everyone came here for DAFA. Didn't my son form a predestined relationship with me so he could gain the FA? I didn't lead him on the right path. Instead, I pushed him toward empirical science and atheism. This was my understanding after studying the FA. If a FA rectification period DAFA practitioner does not follow the path arranged by Master, then she or he will be on the path arranged by the old forces. I rectified myself in time and negated the old forces arrangement. Because of my faith in Master and DAFA, I let Master look after my son, as he is also Master's relative. I will eliminate my attachments so that the old forces won't take advantage of my loopholes. I continued to study the FA and send forth righteous thoughts. The locks in my heart began to loosen, and I felt relieved before school started. My son began to change as I continued to improve. He had read Xuan Falun, the main book of Falun Dafa, twice before and listened to cultivation stories in the mornings with me. I was packing his school backpack one day and saw a letter he wrote to his classmates. It was more than 2 pages and revealed his faith in Dafa and sincerity toward his classmates. I was surprised because he never told me about it, and I didn't expect him to have such a deep understanding of Dafa. He had written, "The Buddha is merciful and will forgive people's mistakes, as long as you earnestly behave yourself based on the principles of truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance. Have you heard of the hidden character stone in Guizhou province? It is a sign that heaven will eliminate the CCP. Thus, one should sever their ties to the party." I was relieved that my son had a deep understanding of Dafa and that there was no selfish thought in his letter. My son was on his way home from playing ball one day and found a copy of Master's lecture, How Humankind Came to Be. It was covered in dirt and had an oily stain. I wiped it several times, but couldn't get rid of the stain. I felt bad and put it in the drawer. I opened the drawer a few days later, and the paper was clean, without a stain. "Thank you, Master, for restoring everything to its purest state. Dafa can rectify everything, as long as we give our all to Master and Dafa."
The following is an experience-sharing article entitled Some Insights from Reading Master's New Scriptures by a Falun Dafa practitioner in China. The article was published on the Mingwei website on January 22, 2024. After Master's New Scriptures, Stay Far Away from Peril, and Cultivation in Dafa is Serious were published, I read them once and then put them down. I felt that although I didn't cultivate well, I would never think that way, and so the scriptures referred to someone else and had nothing to do with me. I used to selectively read scriptures related to me because I thought that the others were not related to me. After practicing for a period of time, I found that I had many of the problems mentioned in the scriptures or had encountered them. Only then did I realize that the reason I felt the new scriptures had nothing to do with me was because I had studied the Fa too little and didn't understand how to cultivate. I read the two new scriptures again recently, and one paragraph touched me. Master taught us in Stay Far Away from Peril, quote, "Don't think that just because you've clarified the truth, attended some Dafa activities, or participated in Dafa projects, that you've done something for Dafa or for Master. That's Master telling you to mutually save and help each other, to save others while saving yourself. This is sentient beings saving each other at the end times. This is not done for Dafa's sake," unquote. It suddenly occurred to me that I often heard words like these among fellow practitioners. "This person has done a lot for Dafa and sacrificed a lot." Or, "This person originally had a high-paying job among ordinary people and had a superior lifestyle, but he gave it all up to do Dafa projects and has sacrificed a lot for Dafa." I used to think that I was doing things for Dafa when I participated in projects to validate the Fa. Now that I have studied Master's new scriptures, I realize that this idea was wrong. By doing projects, I can cultivate myself and save the sentient beings from my world at the same time. I am indeed doing it for myself. I felt it was a bit hard to accept this understanding at first, because it had suddenly overturned my previous understanding. In the 2 weeks at the end of August and the beginning of September, the customer service department and the company I work for each organized outings, and I signed up for both. I had a great time during the first outing. When I went rafting during the second outing, I had a lot of fun, but my left arm started to hurt very badly on the way back. I wondered if I had too much fun over the prior 2 weeks, but I still felt that I rarely enjoyed myself like that, so it must be a lack of exercise that caused the pain. On the second day, not only did my arm hurt, but my whole body felt uncomfortable, as if I was experiencing sickness karma. I had to think again whether I shouldn't have had fun like this. While other people take 1 or 2 weeks of vacation, I just had 2 days of fun. Was it too much? It suddenly felt it was very unfair. A picture suddenly appeared in my mind. I saw a woman in an ancient costume, but I couldn't see her face clearly. I could only hear her saying, "I quit. I want to have fun. I want to have fun." A man's voice said, "This is the vow you signed yourself. So what do you want to do?" I was stunned hearing this. Obviously, this was meant for me. I used to think that everyone has different karma and different blessings, so I should not compare myself to others. Other people may have some good things, but if I don't have those blessings, I won't have them. Now I understand that practitioners signed different vows, so they have different jobs and different lifestyles. It's better not to look at others. It's important to walk your own path well. I thought that I had understood. The man's voice saying, "This is the vow you signed," repeatedly rang in my mind over the following days. I realized that the sentence had other meanings. There are no accidental things in cultivation. I think that participating in a Dafa project is an opportunity arranged by Master that allows us to encounter the people we want to save, complete our missions, and fulfill our vows. Therefore, it is not that I am doing something for Dafa, but that the Dafa project has given me an opportunity and a platform to fulfill my mission and has helped me do what I want to do. I looked back at the previous statements with this understanding, and it became clear where the problem was. "This person has done a lot for Dafa and has sacrificed a lot" actually means that he did a lot to fulfill his vow, rather than doing a lot for Dafa. That person gave up his high-paying job to work on DAFA projects, in fact meant that he chose a path that he felt could better fulfill his vows, not that he sacrificed anything for DAFA. He did a lot for his world and his sentient beings, but not for DAFA. I think we should at least be grateful to Master when we encounter some difficulties that we have trouble getting over for a while, and when we feel angry or resentful. If I clarified the truth online alone, how many people could I save? But through the media, we reach millions of people every day, amplifying our efforts by thousands or tens of thousands of times. So this is not about me helping Master and the project. It is clearly Master and the DAFA project helping me. A coordinator told me a few years ago that there was a person in their group who was always late, and it affected the work of other people who followed. The coordinator asked him to be on time, but the person said, "That's just me. You are short of people anyway, so you don't dare to let me go." I was very angry when I heard that and said, "Why do you keep such a person? Tell him to leave." The coordinator said, "He's right. I really don't dare to ask him to leave because we are really short of people." Hearing this, I felt that it was really difficult for DAFA disciples to do things. Not only was there interference from the CCP and the old forces, but some of our own people were also uncooperative. This person was simply not acting like a cultivator. Now that I think about it, I realized that this person and I actually had a common problem, and that we both treated the project work as other people's business. Master said, in Fa teaching given at the Great Lakes Fa Conference in North America, quote, "In the past, your mentality as you went about whatever you did was, how can I study the Fa well? How should I work for DAFA? How can I improve myself? How can I do better?" You always felt that you were learning DAFA, rather than you were a part of DAFA. After this year, I find that you have completely changed. You no longer think as you used to. No matter what you do for DAFA, and no matter what it is you are doing, you are placing yourselves in DAFA instead of thinking about, "I want to do something for DAFA," or "I want to improve in this way or that way," as you did before. No matter what you do, you aren't thinking that you're doing something for DAFA, about how you should do things for DAFA, or how can I do things well for this Fa. Instead, you are placing yourselves in DAFA. Like a particle of DAFA, you feel that no matter what it is, you should just do it. Even though you weren't conscious of it or expressing it clearly in words, that is, in fact, how your actions already are. This is the biggest change I see in you after this year. In other words, you are completely in the Fa already." Unquote. I always felt a bit confused. I didn't quite understand when I read this teaching in the past. Only now do I realize that doing something for DAFA and putting yourself in DAFA are two completely different mentalities.
The following is an experience sharing article entitled "Falun Dafa Taught Me to Be Selfless" by a Falun Dafa practitioner in China. The article was published on the Mingwei website on January 30th, 2024. I vividly remember answering a knock on the door one spring day in 1998. When I opened it, I was stunned. It was my sister. She had been diagnosed with end-stage uremia, and the doctors had given up on her. She had even asked me to arrange her funeral. Yet there she was, healthy and happy, and her complexion glowed. It was incredible. She told me that she was no longer dying. I wondered how her situation changed so quickly. She said, "I've begun practicing Falun Dafa. It's amazing. You're only 38 years old, but your health is poor. Why not learn how to practice it too?" I agreed immediately. Part 1. I begin practicing Falun Dafa. We went to a bookstore. At that time, Falun Dafa books were scarce. But to my surprise, the bookstore had all 6 Dafa books published back then, plus 1 set of audio tapes of the lectures in Guangzhou, by Master Li Hongzhi, the founder of Falun Dafa. It was as if they were waiting for me. I bought them all. My sister said I had a great predestined relationship with Dafa. We were delighted. My sister also taught me how to do the exercises. She reminded me to wash my hands before I read the Dafa books to show my respect. She said that each time I read, I would gain more understanding. I was so excited that I had a master now. But when I started to read, I fell asleep. I slept for several hours and woke up feeling relaxed and comfortable. I had insomnia for a long time and nothing I tried helped. In addition, my heart would skip beats at times and I was startled easily. I often woke up in the morning with chest pain and my hands and feet were always cold. I had pain all over. I went to various hospitals for all sorts of tests, but the doctors could not find the cause. I was able to sleep after reading just a few pages of Juan Fallen. I began to do the Falun Dafa exercises. Since my body was so weak, exercises were quite challenging, but I persevered. My sister's recovery greatly inspired me. I studied the teachings and did the exercises every day. From the Fa, I understood why people have illnesses. It is caused by their karma. They have done wrong over their many lifetimes, and they have to repay the debts. So no matter how hard it was, I persevered and did the exercises. I followed Dafa's principles to be a good person. I take good care of my mother-in-law and no longer get upset when problems or conflicts surface. After several months, I discovered that I was completely healed. My insomnia was gone, my face took on a healthy glow, and I no longer had pain. I truly experienced being illness-free. I enjoyed reading Juan Fallen even more. I remember one night while studying Juan Fallen attentively, I suddenly saw colorful golden lights radiating outward. They were beautiful. It was so real and so vivid. I was excited. Part 2. A Practitioner's Demeanor. Practicing Dafa gave me a healthy body and mind. I also began measuring my words and deeds with Dafa's principles. Master said in Lecture 6 of Juan Fallen, quote, "Of course, while cultivating an ordinary human society, we should be good to our parents and look after our children. Under all circumstances, we must be good and kind to others, not to mention to our family members. We should treat everyone in the same way. We must be good to our parents and children and be considerate of others in all respects." Unquote. When my husband was laid off, we did not have a stable income. Nonetheless, I allowed my mother-in-law to use my pension regularly. Whenever it is her birthday or a holiday, I visit them and bring gifts. When she was hospitalized out of town, I gave her 60,000 yuan towards her medical bill. My kindness deeply moved them. My husband is proud of his Falun Dafa practitioner wife. He manages our finances, even though he has not been working for a while, and my trust and respect towards him touched his heart. He once spent 1,000 yuan on a sweater for me, but I returned it because we still had a mortgage. I told him that I appreciated his thoughtfulness. My behavior also influenced my son. Besides having respect for his parents and teachers, he is kind and friendly toward his friends as well. From time to time, I also guided him with Dafa principles. Even though what I do seems ordinary, had I not practiced Falun Dafa, I would not behave as I do now. Dafa transformed me from a sickly person to someone who is healthy, kind, considerate, and good. I will continue diligently cultivating, save more people, and fulfill my responsibilities. Thank you, compassionate Master.
Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.